When you hear this selection on JM and the AM following our Elul shofar blowing, you know that Rabbi Yehoshua Fass of Nefesh B'Nefesh is with us live via telephone. And in this case, to discuss not only the final flight of Nefesh B'Nefesh for the summer of 2008, this coming Sunday, the last flight of this season will take off from the New York area to Tel Aviv, but there's been some major news, which we discussed Tuesday on the air, and now we can get to in-depth regarding the Nefesh B'Nefesh relationship with the Jewish Agency of Israel. Rabbi Yehoshua Fass, welcome back to JM and the AM.
Thank you so much. Good morning.
Are you in Israel or in the United States at this point?
I am in Yerushalayim right now. The flight, this is a difficult one. This is good for you, Nachum, because usually the flights are on Mondays or Tuesdays.
Right.
So this way I fly in Motzei Shabbat, and I have a day to recuperate before the flight. So, but this last flight is on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon. So I am leaving Motzei Shabbat, believe it or not.
And turning around?
Turning around.
Wow.
But enough time to catch my breath and to escort this last flight, which really brings an extraordinary summer to a close.
What I was told was that this flight, I mean, we've discussed how, thank God, on every flight there's so many different categories of people. This flight, I was told, and from nobody at the Nefesh B'Nefesh office, that you could tell me if I'm right or wrong, that there's an inordinate number of singles and an even larger number of future IDF enlistees than on past flights. Is that
there are a lot of singles because it makes sense because school started already here in Israel. So the plane has a very different demographic this time. It's almost 100 singles on this flight.
Wow.
So it's a tremendous representation of the singles singles audience on the flight. We have a bunch of retirees, and we have, I think, around 34 young couples with young children who are not going into school, so they don't have to worry about the school system.
And now, is my IDF observation correct, or is that wrong?
There are 18 singles on the plane that are going straight into the IDF.
Wow.
We've had, two flights ago, we had 40. That was a remarkable flight, that we had 40 singles come off the plane, which was really a very emotional moment for all of us, and just to see the idealism and inspiration and the courage of American youth getting on a plane and casting their lot with the Jewish people and giving themselves to the country, which is really, really beautiful.
And what does it mean, straight to the Army? What does that mean?
Well, it means that they have to go, some of them, if they've done the paperwork and if they've been here in the country beforehand, that means that they're going to be in the next enlistment, which is maybe 6 weeks or 7 weeks. Some of them go into a program of Machina Ulpan, which will be a couple of months, 3 months, and then go straight into the Army. Some of them go into a preparatory, but they're already enlisted and they're ready. Some of them are in a Garin Sabar, this program that creates this almost cluster of American Canadians who want to go to the Army and preps them in the States and then brings them here as a group, as a formalized group, and they go through training together and go through preparatory, Ulpan and Hebrew education, and they go straight into the Army. So they're tagged already. So when we're talking about singles going straight into the Army, they're tagged into programs, either direct absorption into the Army, or they have to wait a little bit, or they're going into preparatory programming for the Army, but it's already on the maslul, on the path of direct integration to the Army service.
Rabbi Yehoshua Fass from Yerushalayim, Nefesh B'Nefesh. Now, you've told us about support groups and, keeping up staff that you have, which is amazing, keeping up with people who are parents, have families, singles, I'm sure, as well. I know you have events for singles. Do you have the need to stay in touch with and, hold the hand of those going into the Israeli Army as well?
Absolutely. We have a person on staff whose sole responsibility is being in touch with our soldiers.
That's it.
We have over 320 soldiers right now, b'shetach, in field, and most of them are lone soldiers. They don't have family here at all. So it's Friday SMSs to their cell phones asking if they're out and if they need a place for Shabbat. It's care packages to their bases. It's a shoulder to cry on when they're going through some rough times. It's a phone call for parents who are looking for a link or some explanation of certain terminology that they receive through email or phone calls or just a pick-me-up. And it's a very intense job, and we have a perfect employee for it. And it's at least they have an address, and the parents have an address, and it's been working out very well.
I can only imagine, as difficult as it is, for families or anybody to go to Yerushalayim, Beit Shemesh, anywhere, the adjustment to the Israeli Army must be just unbelievable.
It's remarkable. You see these. The funniest thing is that 3 years ago, I think you see guys and girls coming off the plane going to the army, and they look like regular, you know. They look like Jewish high school students. They're graduating, going in. And then we once visited them on the base to bring care packages, and there was a transformation, a muscular transformation. That was like, come on. You know, what happened to you?
So we ain't your old-time American high school kid anymore.
Exactly.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
They replaced it with Israeli blood.
We sent our kids to Yeshiva High School in New York and turned them into an Israeli soldier. Unbelievable. Uh-huh. Well, parents who are in that situation, I can only imagine the Thursday before they leave how parents are today in that situation.
Uh-huh.
But we'll at least, with all the anxiety, we'll at least give them a massive kol hakavod. And really, we'll blame them because, you know, Rabbi Fass, when you think about it, it's their fault. If not for the way that the kids grew up in their own home, their kids wouldn't be going to the Israeli army.
Absolutely. That's the funniest. When people, you know, people tell their parents we're making Aliyah. And the parents are like, what are you talking about? He's like, you brought me to every single day Israeli day parade. You put me in a Zionist education. We celebrated Yom HaTzibur. What did you expect?
You know, exactly. I wanted my kids to be Zionists, but not that Zionist.
Listen to your parenting. You know?
Yeah, now you decide to listen to us? Unbelievable. All right, so that's a unique flight, and it's happening Sunday. And I guess with this flight, you will have to declare, thank God, the summer of 2008 a massive success.
Thank God. And it's over. Because it's been intense traveling. It's been multiple flights, sometimes during the same week, as you know, you've been covering this very intensely. And we have a lot, as a segue into our next topic, we have a lot to do.
By the way, before we get into the next topic, what's with the web cameras? Is that going to be operating this weekend or not?
Of course. It's going to be operating as it has been for all the other.
All right, so what are the details? You log on to Nevesh.
Straight to the homepage, nbn.org.il, the homepage for Nefesh B'Nefesh. It'll be on the homepage. You click on it. Starting, I think, 12:30 at night, and you'll be able to see the entire landing to the end of the ceremony.
Now, I want to tell you.
Another unique aspect of the flight is that there are two ministers of the Knesset coming on the plane. Last year, we launched with certain Knesset members, really talented individuals, this Aliyah Caucus, this lobby within the Knesset that will fight for Western Aliyah and Western and lobbying for different changes within the Knesset and certain laws and protocols and regulations to make Western Aliyah increase and also easier for its integration. And Yoel Chasson from Kadima and Gilad Erdan from Likud are two really pioneering young generation Knesset members who head and lead this lobby. And they are flying back. They flew back already to New York, and they're coming onto the plane. They actually asked us if we could ask El Al for permission for them to use the speakerphone, you know, the speaker, the Ramco,
microphone.
The microphone. Thank you. I'm losing my English now. The microphone on the plane so they can hold actually a lobbying caucus session with all the Olim so they can hear real-time information from Olim who are making Aliyah of what their needs are. So that's something also very unique about this flight.
And I think I heard a rumor that Gilad is going to be in Teaneck for Shabbos, so some of our listeners may actually meet him this Shabbos. That's amazing. Just the fact that you were able to form that type of caucus, hopefully it'll grow and there'll be even more influence. By the way, I must say, on just one last point on this camera thing, you know, talk about gimmicks. I thought that, you know, that this would be the gimmick. In other words, you know, it's shtick, and how many people would even bother logging on would find interest in it. You would not believe.
It is ridiculous.
How many people contact me while they are watching, even while they're watching the archives of your landing ceremonies, to tell me who's there?
Why aren't people sleeping?
It's unbelievable.
2,000 homes who are watching this thing at 2 o'clock in the morning.
It's unbelievable.
And that's live. And then the next 48 hours, when good people are actually taking care of their health and sleeping, they're logging on for the next 2 days. It's been remarkable. And I'm so happy about it because the flight and the arrival and so much anxiety is building up the weeks before the Aliyah, before the takeoff. And to see, for families to see, for relatives who are back, staying back in America, and they're seeing their family, and they're seeing the happiness and the smiles and the tears of joy, and just the reception that Israel is giving them, it helps so much increase the pride and the acceptance of this move.
And I'll tell you,
it's been incredible.
And I'll tell you another thing, seeing American Jews, at least here, I'm sure around the world they're watching as well, but seeing American Jews react this way tells me that there's a lot more potential for Aliyah. There are a lot of people who are still here, who are really into it.
It's the best PR in the world. And to think that the five ceremonies hitting close to 30,000 people of watching the welcome, it only increases just the inspiration and the want to at least address the issue.
Quarter before 8 o'clock, Rabbi Yehoshua Fast live from Israel. Nefesh B'Nefesh flight, final one of the 2008 summer season coming up on Sunday. Toward the end of our conversation, I'll ask Rabbi Fast about the future schedule, which I'm sure will make him happy thinking about the future flights that he'll be responsible for. All right, let's get to the news of the week. We learned this, I believe it was Sunday afternoon. That we were told about this big news. The Jewish agency has been responsible for our purposes, let's call it, for North American Aliyah, for about 60 years. Would you say, Rabbi Fass, about 60
Correct.
Years?
And even more.
And even longer. And you guys, Nefesh B'Nefesh, came around, formed this amazing system to make Aliyah easier, make the process easier, the bureaucracy less. The getting grants easier, the family experience easier, all these different things. I mean, our listeners are familiar with this whole thing at this point. And, you know, folks were wondering what the future would bring. Would Nefesh B'Nefesh be able to coexist with the Jewish agency? Tell us what the final decision has been.
The final decision, without being bombastic, is really historic. I think the most practical outcome, the most instrumental achievement or result of this, is that there's going to be a one-stop shop for all prospective Olim, meaning that in the past, as we all know for decades, a person had to, and especially for the last 5 years, a person had to go through two parallel tracks. They would open up a Tik Aliyah with their shliach, with their local shliach, and fill out all the forms and receive certification or for their eligibility for the right of return for citizenship. And at the same time or after opening up the TKIM, they would apply to Nefesh B'Nefesh services for the last 6 years. And it was a lot of duplication of efforts, and sometimes the timelines of these parallel tracks did not line up, and it was cumbersome for the Ole. The major difference in the outcome for this, for all prospective Ole and future prospective Ole, is going to be that it's a one-stop shop, that there's only going to be one application. They're going to either download an application from us and send it in or get it mailed to them, or it's going to be online. We're going to have online applications from now on. Soon, in the next few weeks, we're going to launch it. And all that material is going to come to Nefesh B'Nefesh.
So you're a lit... Yeah, I'm sorry.
So one application, one source of data entry, and we're going to be working here in Jerusalem with someone from the Jewish agency, most probably housed within the Nefesh B'Nefesh office. They're going to approve the eligibility for the Oled. The Jewish agency will still have the exclusive authority of approving the eligibility of citizenship, but we're going to be collecting the data, and it's going to come through our offices. And basically, we'll be able to, in a much more efficient way, and in a less convoluted or cumbersome way, be able to communicate to the Ole and to really accelerate the process, so that person doesn't have to do two parallel tracks, just one application, get the information fast to the individual, process them with almost a bureaucratic-free process, and get them along the way and on their way and on their path to make Aliyah. The second major result of the mediation and negotiations with the Jewish agency is that while the Jewish agency will retain the exclusive authority for eligibility of citizenship for Israel and the right of return, we will be the primary functioning organization with seminars and marketing and promotion overseas. This way, again, we cut down the duplication of efforts, and we allow us to really be out there on the forefront of marketing and promoting and informing and guiding all prospective Olim with this one application,
right,
while the Jewish agency will still be authorizing who is eligible for the right of return.
And potential Olim will feel the difference, right? I mean, you'll have 2004 Olim who will tell the newcomers, oh, God.
I'm jealous of it.
You're already jealous of it. Yeah.
We're writing the program and structure right now. I'm jealous of it. It's you don't... There'll be one application. There's no traveling out for the interview with a shliach and filling out the paper and bringing it. There's nothing. It's going to be one application, and it's going to be incredible. And kudos to the Jewish agency for coming to this resolution. And the third, I think, the third byproduct of this resolution is Shalom Bayit, harmony of the Jewish people. This Aliyah is too precious of an undertaking that there should be strife. Or petty debates or petty arguments that we're rallying the cause, we are mature enough to realize which responsibility should go to which party, and what's best for the Olé. And I think it's a watershed moment for government and private-public enterprising cooperation within Israel as well. For so many years, people have wanted to give more muscle and to power to private organizations, but sometimes the I'm trying to find the appropriate politically correct statement, but sometimes forces would not allow that to happen. And I think it's a historic decision for the Jewish Agency to make this to make this move, and allows them to give fuel to and power to us to get the job done, and the Olim will have a much remarkably different experience in the future.
Does Benjamin Netanyahu know about this arrangement? I could see him appreciating it.
Everyone's appreciating it.
Everyone loves it. All the government officials that are aware of it.
No, because it's we're back to having something good and positive.
Right.
And when it comes to Aliyah and Yeshiva and Zionism, this is what the country was built on. And the last, this tumultuous past, and the petty fighting over the last bunch of months and years, has tarnished some of that purity of spirit.
Was there a key mediator, somebody who you, gained appreciation for, going side to side and making sure things would end up?
The mediator that the federations asked to mediate between us was Ken Feinberg. Ken Feinberg is the mediator of mediators. He's been used in an extremely high profile Washington and federal negotiations in the U.S., and a remarkable human being, and I got to learn a lot through the process, and I got a lot to appreciate the man himself through it.
Does this put
And Steve Hoffman and John Reske from the federations were instrumental in bringing this together.
And did you represent NBN, essentially? Was it your?
We had a team. Both parties had a team that's been involved in this for several months.
Does the new arrangement put a lot more pressure on your staff? Because now, as much as you've produced and as great as things have been running, now you really have nowhere to back off to. If things go awry,
it creates a tremendous, awesome responsibility. And I think we want this responsibility, and we're going to relish in the responsibility. But it's an awesome responsibility nonetheless, and we're going to make sure that we rise to the occasion.
Will the new arrangement help fund the organization?
Absolutely. The new arrangement allows, the fact that there's not going to be duplication of certain efforts allows us to pull the resources together and allows us to have more resources and funds to get things done.
So there may be philanthropists who hesitated to deal with you directly in the past because of the relationship out there, who now may step forward and give you hefty funds to carry on.
Correct, and vice versa as well. People who have been on the Jewish Agency side as well, who were uneasy with attention, who were holding back because they saw a different body do it. And I think now they're very excited that there has been a reasonable outcome to this. And I think both sides will see a resurgence of interest in funding to the project.
Will this change in any way the grant applications and the granting of grants to potential Olim?
Absolutely not.
Same thing. People deserve it, they'll get it.
The beauty of it is it allows the organization, as I've called it, to have frictionless autonomy, to be able to still help individuals and not feel that we have any governmental criteria imposed upon us, and we'll be able to help as much as possible to individuals.
You revealed, I believe accidentally, last time you were on the air, that members of your staff have reached out to people who live in neighborhoods of Israel that are not as peaceful as other neighborhoods. And I refer, of course, to when the enemy tosses rockets to the Israeli side and things like that. Do you still? I know that I know. I don't think you're supposed to discuss it to begin
Why
with.
Why are you doing this to me?
I don't think you're supposed to discuss. I'm being very vague. But I'm curious if, in fact, there is still some type of relationship and outreach that you see directly from your office to people in those types of situations.
Yes, we've extended our lease since they wrote. Happy enough, home.
I'm very happy. I'm trying to figure out if that's a scoop or not now. So now what's the next step? Is there any easier aliyah? Is there a way to, you know, this is going to be the system for 2009, obviously, as things get into place after the mediation and the new agreement.
Correct.
Is there anything else to be done? Like 2 years from now, will it become even easier?
Unless we come to your house and pack your bags and put you on a plane and cradle you on the plane.
That's about it, huh? There's nothing left.
Set you up with a job before you arrive and give you keys in your hands to your house. We can always improve. No,
so you've obviously gotten to the finish line, basically.
No, we didn't get to the finish line. We just came to the beginning. And I've kept on intimating this to the staff the last couple of days, is that until for the last 6 years we've showed our resume. And now we can actually do our job.
Hmm.
And I'm very excited. I still view the foundation in its really being in diapers. It's an infant. We have incredible talent here in our staff, and we are rearing to go and to make a difference and to make some history and to make make a difference in people's lives. And we're extremely, extremely humbled by this move, and extremely appreciative with our newfound partnership in the Jewish Agency. There's definitely a changed view, and there's a changed approach, and we'll be the first ones to admit it and the first ones to embrace it. But I think the burden now, I mean, we'll be ready. We have a lot to do over the next several weeks. We want to automate this application so that we'll have almost like, you know, artificial intelligence application generator off of our application that you don't have to go through papers or fill out papers that have no relevance to you. It'll generate a specific application geared to you, and that almost have it as a paperless kind of process, which is incredible. Not only is it a one-stop shop, but it'll almost be a paperless process doing it all online.
Gosh.
But still have the paper process for those who want to feel an application in your hand.
Hope you have a good server company behind you.
Oh, God. No, the person who deals with that this morning, I think he was white when we were discussing that it falls on his shoulders at this point.
And plenty of backups.
But we have to create the process. We have to, the two of us have to restructure a bit to the Jewish Agency and Nefesh V'Nefesh to make this work as this one-stop shop and hopefully launch it in the next few months. Definitely by 2009, this is going to be up and running.
When you started the whole thing, did you ever think it would get to this point?
Absolutely not.
Unbelievable. Also, have you planned the first flight of 5769?
December 29th, winter flight is confirmed.
And that's going to be a charter flight.
Yeah, absolutely. We're trying to book a UK flight as well for that week. It's the end of Hanukkah week.
So anybody today thinking of Aliyah, I know there are deadlines and application deadlines, but if they are thinking about it today after hearing our, you know, jovial conversation, could they get on that flight in December?
Of course.
Simple as that. Log on, get the information. Three and a half months is plenty of time for you guys.
Absolutely. And a person, we're getting tons of calls. I think we're all, when we were discussing in a staff meeting this morning, I think everyone was inundated just for the emails from individuals who are in the process or just starting the process and asking, do they do the one-stop shop now?
Right.
And we're like, well, slow down, guys.
Right.
Give us a few weeks to get ready for you. I think now, We're preparing ourselves. It's almost the Jewish audience and the Jewish community that has to prepare now. And I think with removing so many excuses, people have to really take a good look and see and to take an assessment of their lives and their futures and their identity and their passion and love and their connectivity to Israel and say, okay,
right,
what are we going to do? And I've already braced the staff, and I said, listen, you know, people knock us for other stuff. We were the underdog, and now they'll find mistakes in what we're doing.
That's right.
But that's fine, and we'll learn from it, and we'll improve from it. But people will really have to take an honest look and saying, you know, what are we critiquing?
Yeah, the most popular player is the backup quarterback, and now you guys
exactly.
are the starting quarterback. Yeah.
Exactly. Well put.
The whole thing is unbelievable, Rabbi Fess. I mean, it's just incredible. Congratulations on this achievement. Everybody out there who wants any information whatsoever, it is not impossible. In fact, it's very, very possible for all of you out there who want to go on Aliyah in December, the next group flight, the next charter flight, to be part of it. nbn.org.il 866-4-ALIYAH, 866-4-ALIYAH. And as I said, by the way, you know, you were talking about removing excuses. And as I mentioned in that B'Sheva article last week, Rabbi Fass, even the good excuses are still excuses. We must remember that.
Of course.
And that's on every level, no matter what your background, no matter how difficult things are. And I know I'm speaking to myself even more than I'm speaking to anybody else. Sunday, September the 7th, final flight of the 2008 summer season for Nefesh B'Nefesh. You could log on to nbn.org.il and watch the entire ceremony as everybody lands in Israel and is greeted by the pomp and circumstance. And this flight will include a hefty number of singles, an incredible number of singles, and also 18 young people are going to be heading straight for the Israel Defense Forces. Rabbi Fass, I don't know if I'll have a chance on the air between now and the high holidays. I wish you a ktiva v'chatima tova, shana tova u'mitzuka. And this should be an even bigger year for North American Aliyah.
For all of us.
Amen. Thank you, Rabbi. Unbelievable. Rabbi Yehoshua Fass with unbelievable news and with encouraging words. 866-4-ALIYAH, 866, the number 4, and then A-L-I-Y-A-H, nbn.org.il.
Place where the land is good, land of milk and honey and brotherhood. I was born in the USA, now I'm making Aliyah today. I was born in the USA, now I'm making Aliyah today.
Minute after 8 o'clock, America's one and only Jewish Moments in the Morning radio program, heard on listeners-sponsored WFMU East Orange, WXHD Mount Hope. Around the world.